We are in the book of Ephesians, chapter 5. And if you remember, we studied first 11 verses last week. We are going to start from verse 12. This is Ephesians chapter 5, starting from verse 12.
For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, Awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise.
Starting from the verse 12, For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. Or you can say in dark, so nobody can see. And there are so many people living the life of darkness or the secret life. When you say secret, other people should not know. And this kind of life they are living, the Word of God says when somebody is living in a darkness and secret and doing something and they know, nobody knows what they're doing or nobody understands what they're doing. But our God watches over everything. Book of Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 13 says, please read, there is nothing hidden in the eyes of God.
Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight. But all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do.
See, it's very clear. Not a single creature means anything. Man or beast or anybody. Doing anything, God says, I know everything what you're doing. We might be wearing three-piece suit, but in the eyes of God, we are still naked. God can see everything inside out. You can hide from your husband. You can hide from your wife. You can hide from your boss. You can hide from anybody. You can lie. You can deceive. You can do anything in secret. Nobody knows. Well, he says, I have seen it. God knows everything. And his eyes are open and he is checking every person. So what he is trying to say, Ephesians chapter 5 verse 12, we read, people are doing certain things in secret. The believers should not even open their mouth and say what those things are. Those things are shameful. That's why sometimes I preach, I do not want to take the some of the horrible words in my mouth. But the Bible is very clear. Bible says, verse 13, but all things that are reproved are made manifested by the light, for whosoever doth make manifest is light. What does it mean? He says, those things people are doing in secret and nobody knows, he said, God wants those things come to surface or come to light. And how it will come? Somebody has to tell. If you tell somebody, you know, if somebody is doing something wrong, that person doesn't know this is wrong. Then somebody has to tell that person. When you tell somebody what they're doing wrong, and then they say, I didn't know. For example, one lady called me and she said, my husband is a deacon in the church. He was almost 90 years old. She said he smokes cigar. Doctor told him he doesn't listen. And it is bad for my health. And the lady was 85 years old. She said, you are a man of God. You could talk to him. I said, tell the man to arrange a service for me in his church. Because he was a deacon, he talked to the pastor and they arranged a service for me and I went there and preached. When I preached, the man liked my preaching. He said, could you come to my house? I went to his house. And because he was an old man, I said to him, uncle, do you smoke? He said, yes, I'm smoking since I was a teenager. Did anybody tell you it is harmful for you and your wife? He says, yes. But it is a habit and I cannot give up. I said, let's turn to the Word of God. I gave him the 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. It says, you are the temple of the living God. And if anyone defiles the temple of God, God himself will destroy that person. When he read that, because he was a man of God and a good man, he said, I never heard these things in my life. From that, you know, he was not reading Bible, Genesis to Revelation. And nobody in his church preached the message. 90 years old, going to church, being a deacon. I gave several other scriptures. And he said, I am guilty because I didn't know the word. So that's what the Word of God is saying. Some people are doing something secret, doing some openly, and not knowing that is wrong. At that same minute, he took the box out and he said, from today onwards, I don't need this, but I need the grace of God. I laid hand and prayed. Instantly, he gave up and God blessed that home. That lady lived up to 95 years old. So what I'm trying to say, the Word of God says somebody has to put light on that. Who is that? Only God can put light on those things. Last week, if you remember, the Word of God says, you are the light of the world. And we were shining in the darkness, and the people who are dying without God and without Christ, and we have the message of Jesus Christ. And so we go to the dark places and the people who are living in sin and tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the testimony of Jesus Christ. So he said that light has to come to them. And verse 14 he says, wherefore he said, awake thou that sleepest and rise from the dead, and Christ shall give you the light. This message is for Christians. He says, whatever you say, you now, as a Christian, born again, child of God, what are you doing? He says, you are asleep. What kind of sleep? A spiritual sleep. Do not know what the Bible teaches. Even the Bible comes to life, you opening your eyes and reading the words and say, no, this is not the scripture. This is not the chapter I want to read today. God is convicting you that you are a guilty, you are a sinner, you are doing wrong thing. And sometimes some people time and time again say, did you lie? No, I didn't. Did you lie? No, I didn't. And they make other people enroll in their lie and they try to say, I'm a good person. The Word of God says, what they're doing? Spiritually asleep. Not only asleep, they said, rise from dead. You're spiritually dead. And you are spiritually sleeping. And in other words, if somebody is spiritually dead and you are associating with that person and you are also spiritually dead and you are sleeping among the dead. Somebody's loved ones died. That person loved that person so much. Did not want 1 minute out of sight. And when that person dies, you see how much they cry. They fall on their dead body and they cry and do everything. But did you hear anyone like that keep the dead body in their house for a month and don't bury that person and say, I'm going to sleep with you because I love you so much? If they keep more than a week, what will happen? The smell, the germs, the disease will come to that person. Even though you love that person, but if that person is dead, you cannot sleep with that person. You cannot stay with that person any longer. If you do, what will happen? You will be dead. Simple as that. And so if you just keep that person in your house, you will be dead. So that's what he's saying. Rise and what? come out of dead. So the word of God is saying we are spiritually sleeping, spiritually dead. And who will rise you up? He says, and the Christ shall give thee light. Jesus Christ is the one who gives you light. Somebody said, I don't need light. Some people are afraid of light. But the light he's talking about, the spiritual light. Go to the St. John chapter 1, verses 4 and 5.
In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not.
Did you hear what it says in the verse 4? In him was light. In whom? Jesus Christ. In him was the light, and that light was the life of mankind. Can you imagine? Jesus Christ is called the light of the world. Just like the sunshine gives you light, and if there is no sunshine, the flowers or the anything will not come out of the ground. So the sunlight gives you life for your plant. But the Jesus Christ, who is the light of the world, that gives you life for your soul. And so he said, Jesus Christ, he's the light, and that light gives you life. And he says, when Jesus Christ came into this world was full of darkness. Why? Because the devil was the king of this world. And devil was deceiving the world. And the whole world was in darkness. The word of God says those people saw the light. They were dying. Jesus Christ came. But the word of God says, but the devil had no power to destroy or to quench this light.
True, amen.
That means when Jesus Christ came into this world, 1 John chapter 3, verse 8, he says, why he came? He came to destroy the works of the devil, or to destroy the works of the darkness. So Jesus Christ came and there was a darkness. The darkness is the devil or devil's work, but that darkness was not able to quench or destroy the light which was in Jesus Christ, and that was real life. So Jesus Christ lived 33 and a half years. Devil tried to destroy him many, many times from his childhood until the cross. But he says, he has no power to destroy me. I am giving my life freely so I can take my life back. And if I don't die, I cannot give life to anybody. And he gave the example of the wheat. He said, if you take the wheat and put it in the ground, it dies. And then it brings fruit, hundredfold. But if you don't put that wheat in the ground and it doesn't die, will not give life to many. So Jesus Christ died for you and for me. He was buried, and 3 days after he came out of the grave, bringing the life and light to the mankind. And he is the real life giver. Without Jesus, there is no light, there is no life, there is no eternal life. So Jesus Christ is the life of the world. And that's what he gave, that life and that light to us. And last week we learned we are reflecting his light or light in the dark world. Let's go to the Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15.
See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise.
Now see that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Now this word is a little bit difficult to pronounce, but the meaning is walk carefully. Mm-hmm. Walk very gently, looking at what you're doing. Think about how you're walking. So walk carefully. Think where you're going. You remember last week I gave an example of the crab walking crooked? So he's saying, just think, Jesus Christ says, I am the life, I am the way, and I am the truth. Are you walking in that path? Are you following Christ? Or are you going crooked to the darkness and the world again? So then he's saying how you could walk carefully, but what? Not as fools. And somebody says, I am a fool. God, some people, fool means, you know, they're just joking this in some kind of comedy and foolish comedy. And he says, that person is fool. Oh, he's acting like a fool. But real fool is in the Word of God. Psalm 14 verse 1. Do you know what he says? He says, fool says in his heart, there is no God. If the fool says in his heart, there is no God, what does it mean? If there is no God, there is no fear of God. If there is no God, there is no hell. If there is no God, there is no punishment. If there is no God, I don't have to worry about doing good things. So the fool simply has to say, there is no God. Do you know the cat? You have so many cats. Do you know the cats? When she drinks the milk, what she does? She closes her eyes and drinks the milk. Why does she do that? Because she doesn't want to see anybody's looking at her. Am I closing my eyes so there is nobody looking at me? So same a fool says, I don't see God. There is no God. When you say there is no God, then you can do anything you want. And that's what the people are afraid of God. Do you know if you love your son or your daughter, and your son loves you so much, your daughter loves you so much, but the day they make a mistake, or they know the punishment is coming. Nowadays, today, you cannot punish your child. If you punish your child, you'll go to jail. In India, we still punish our children. So, in the mom and dad knows that boy did something wrong, and the mom will say, let your dad come home. I'm going to tell him what you did today. You know what the son does? He wants to sleep early that night. He doesn't want to see father's face. He's afraid of father. So that's what happens. People do not want to see God because they know. If they see that God is an angry God, God is going to destroy the whole world. The Word of God says God is love. He wants to love you, but He wants to correct you. The Word of God says, who is the father who loves their children and do not correct? If you don't correct your children, they are going to go to hell. And the pastor is your spiritual father. If the pastor says, you should not lie, you should not do this, you should not do that. This pastor doesn't love me. That's why he stays. He loves you. That's why he doesn't want you to go to hell. So the Word of God is saying, do not be fools. So what is he saying? But as wise. Jesus Christ said to his disciples, you know, you should be wise like a serpent. Even the serpent bites and kills. But he gave his example. He's wise. He doesn't want anybody to look at him. He kills and very, very cunning. He's very wise. But he said at the same time, you should be blameless like a dove. Be holy, but at the same time, be wise. Yes, that's right. The devil is much wiser than us. But God is much wiser than devil. And if you have God, then we can defeat the devil.
Amen.
The Word of God says, who is wise, do you know? Go to the book of Proverbs, chapter 11 and verse 30. You might have guessed it, but let's read it.
The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise.
The fruit of the righteous is the tree of life. What does it mean? If you are a righteous man, You are going to produce the fruit of righteousness that gives you life. And then he says, and he that winneth souls is wise. If you are not righteous, you are not going to win souls. If you're living in dark, you have no testimony. If you're living in sin, you have no testimony. If you're deceiving somebody, you have no testimony. If you are sinner, you have no testimony. So the word of God says, if you are righteous and producing the fruit of righteousness, then people are going to see you as a child of God. They are going to see, look at this man. He lives in health. He lives in prosperity. He lives in joy, and he has a full of life. I want to have that sum of life, what you have. And that's why the soul winning is all about. Without a testimony, you cannot win souls. You have to have testimony. What kind of testimony? I am born again, child of God. I was in sin, but not. I am not in sin. I used to smoke, but I don't smoke. I used to drink, I don't drink. I used to lie, I don't lie. I used to do all the works of the darkness, but now I'm in a light.
Amen.
That's a testimony. And then somebody said, okay, how can I get it? It's very simple. Call upon Jesus, and I'll help you. Then what you have to say, Jesus, come into my life. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. Please forgive all my sins and wash me with your precious blood. I want to live for you. And the person who tells you, he is called soul winner. And he gets the crown, and he, each and every person he wins, that's like a jewels in his crowns or diamonds in his crowns. So whoever wins the soul, the word of God says, he is wise. And the fool says there is no God. See the difference. And so how can you be wise? How can you be righteous without knowing the word of God? You have to know the word of God. You have to know the truth of God. You have to know what Jesus Christ is all about. Then you get saved. Then you get healed. Then you get delivered. Okay, let's go back and read 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15.
And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus.
See, Paul is telling Timothy, you heard and you learned the word of God from your childhood. That made you wise. So word of God gives you the wisdom. And he said that gave you salvation in Jesus Christ. So the word of God is saying, if you want to be wise, what you do? Study the word of God. Read the word of God. Grow in the word of God. And you will be wise. There are so many people having lots of degrees, but according to the word of God, some of them are fools. Why? They deny God. We are wise. And the word of God says, how you get your wisdom from God. Proverbs 1 chapter 7, please read. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of the knowledge. But the fool despises the wisdom and instruction. Verse 5.
A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels.
See, if the man who wants to be wise, he has to listen the word of God, learn the word of God, understand the word of God, and listen to the counsel of godly man. Then you get wise. And then the word of God we have just read, the fear of the God, the wisdom and the knowledge of God. So if you fear means what? Not be afraid. Fear means respect, reverent to the Lord. And then you will learn everything from God. Romans chapter 16 verse 27, it says, there is only one wise God. There is none. Please read.
To God only wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen.
Our God is the only wise God. And so Our God is wise. He has all the wisdom. He has all the power, all the glory, all the majesty, everything He has. And He doesn't keep it for Himself. He wants to give it to you. But what the Word of God says, James chapter 1, verse 5. He says, ask. If you need a knowledge, if you need the wisdom, just ask. And He will give it to you. How? Liberally. Our God is a good God. He doesn't want His children to be fools walking around. He wants us to be wise. And if you are wise, you will know how to live in this world pure and holy life. Okay, let's go to the Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 16.
Redeeming the time because the days are evil.
Redeeming the time because the days are evil. Do you know when these books are written? Maybe at least 2,000 years ago. And it says that redeeming the time because the days are evil. If the 2,000 years ago the days were evil, if 50 years ago if you went to school and if you chewed the chewing gum, that was a crime. Or you passed the note to your girlfriend, that was a crime. Today what? You can take a knife, condom, or you can take a gun to school. And so how changes happen? 2,000 years ago, he said that days are evil. Today, they are much more evil. And so what we should do? He said, the days are evil, so what's it? Redeeming the time. I said, what does it mean? Redeeming the time. Redeeming means find out how much time you have. Just think that from here to there I put a line and that's a one day. And so I have to redeem means I have to do much more within this time. Whatever I'm doing, I'm redeeming the time. I want to be doing more things. So what he's trying to say, the days are evil. Think about your salvation. Think about God. Think about godly things. You don't have time to waste. Redeem whatever you have. Occupy doing good things. I always say, tomorrow will be always tomorrow. And tomorrow never comes. I learned from somebody. He says, you know, there was a sign. The man kept it on his door, on his shop. Today you pay cash, tomorrow is free. So person comes and gives cash and says, tomorrow I'm come. So he said, sir, you told me yesterday, if I come tomorrow, it's free. He said, read the sign. The sign says, give cash today, tomorrow, free. So tomorrow never comes. Tomorrow will be always tomorrow. So he said, redeeming the time. You have the time. Do it whatever you want to do it today. Tomorrow will be too late. What you want to do tomorrow, do it now. Tomorrow never comes. So we have to be occupying, doing godly things. Time is running. And some young people say, oh, I have lots of time. I'm not like granddad. His time is running out. I have lots of time. There is no guarantee how much time you have. Their babies are dying every day. Go to the hospital, children's hospital. Some of the children have leukemia and cancer. They are dying. Some teenagers dying. And some of the teenagers going to high school and college, don't get a job, don't get a girlfriend, and kill themselves. What I'm living for? The teenagers are dying. And the middle age, wife get divorced, husband get divorced, they don't have peace. What I'm living for? They kill themselves or kill somebody. You just saw the news. The lady became pregnant and the man wants to hide, she wants to hide, whatever, whoever wants to hide, kill her and buried her. These are things happening. They don't know, they never dream that they're going to die in their youth. They're dying. So what the word of God say? Redeem the time. Time is at hand. Time, when Jesus Christ was preaching, he said, repent and the kingdom of God is at hand. 2,000 years ago, he said, kingdom is very close. Repent. How much close we are now? We just passed 1 year. We are in another year. 1 more year closer to Jesus Christ to come. We have too much to do. Do the things now. Tomorrow never comes. Okay, verse 17.
Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is.
Okay, now again, in the 15th he says, do not be like fools, but be wise. Now here he says, therefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Somebody says, I don't know what the will of God is. Do you? And there are so many people are confused. Say, I don't know what the will of God is. It's very simple. You know why you don't understand the will of God? Because you living in flesh. You fulfilling the desires of your flesh. That's why you don't know the will of God. Go to the book of Romans, chapter 12, verse 1 and 2.
I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service.
Okay, now see what he's saying. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. When you say beseech, do you know what it is? I beg you. Now, this is a man of God, apostle, big man. He's begging the children of God. I beg you, by the mercies of God, he says, if I didn't have the mercy, I might use a stick. But he says, asking you by the grace of God, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. If you don't have money to give tithe, that's okay. If you don't have a job, that's okay. But if you don't have a job, don't sit there and start doing sinful work. He says, we have to give our body as a living sacrifice. And that's what God wants.
Amen.
God says, give me your life and I'll use it. That's why when I go to pray for somebody and somebody says in the hospital or dying and they say pray, I don't just go and lay hands, somebody said. I talk to the person. I give the Bible scriptures. I tell them to repent. Tell them to receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. If they refuse to do that, I don't have to pray. God is not going to listen to my prayer. They have to say why they want prayer. They want to get better. Why they want to get better? Go and sin more? No. They want to get better to serve the Lord. You remember Jesus Christ saw a prostitute and everybody stoning her to death? And Jesus said, you know, where are those people? She said, they're all gone. What Jesus Christ says, I'm not condemning you. Go in peace. And what? Sin no more. That was the message. Somebody said, oh, Jesus didn't say you are guilty, so she can go back and do prostitute business. Because Jesus promoted. Jesus did not promote it. Jesus said, you know, they were all guilty. They were all doing those things, and you were doing the same thing. I'm not telling you you are guilty more than them or they were guilty more than you, but only one thing I can tell you, sin no more. That's what Jesus' message is. This is your reasonable service. Verse 2.
And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God.
See now we read in here, what is the will of God is. Now here is saying, how can you find the will of God? Renew your mind and do not be like worldly people. If you're doing some worldly things, and if your mind or your heart, the word of God is condemning you, then give up. and renew your mind. And then God says, that is acceptable in my sight. I do not want to be worldly. I don't want you to living in sin. I don't want you to be like worldly people. I want you to be transformed. For what? For me. And then said, this is acceptable and perfect will of God. So God said, this is what I want from you. So if you don't know what is the will of God, first give your body as a living sacrifice. Live for Jesus Christ. And then change your heart and mind and turn to God completely. God wants you, not your money. He wants you first. Once I give my life to God, then everything what I have is belong to God. Okay, verse 18.
And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit.
Now, when this verse you read, be not drunk with wine, what is the reason? He says, because that is makes you a slave and makes you miserable. That's what reason you do not drink. And somebody says, oh, Bible says, do not get drunk. How did you get drunk without drinking? You drink to get drunk. You don't get drunk without drinking. Then somebody says, oh, I don't get drunk. Oh, I'll tell you how you get drunk. First, you start taking a 1 ounce for your food. Or doctor told you, take something. Week later, that is not good enough for you. You have to take a little bit more. And that you take 1 month or so, is not good enough for you. Then you take a half a glass. That doesn't bother you. It might bother somebody. It doesn't bother you. Take a 1 full glass 3 months later. Doesn't bother you. But if you would have taken the full glass for the first time, you would have been knocked out. So what happened here? You keep on gradually, slowly, slowly, slowly drink. And you don't get drunk with a 1 glass either. Then what happens? Sometimes you get mad at your wife. Or sometimes you get mad at your boss. Or some the world. Or lost the job. Then you go and drink some more. Because when you had no habit of drinking, you cannot go to bar and drink a whole bottle that day. You will be dead. So who drinks? The person who has habit to drink 1 glass, that's the person will take 1 bottle that day. And that's the problem. How it happened? Little by little. So that's why he says, you should not be drinking what you should be drinking, but be filled with the Spirit. Now here somebody says, oh, the Bible doesn't say don't drink. Get your Bible, write down these scriptures. I don't have much time. But one day, I'm going to have a whole Bible study on drinking alone. But today, I'm giving few scriptures. Read 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 7 and 8. Write it down and memorize these scriptures.
For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night.
Now, this was 2,000 years ago. People were drinking in the nighttime when they go and work hard and come home. And they want their bodies hurting and things like that. So, okay, I can drink and sleep. That's what they were doing. They were doing in the night and they were drinking in the night. But now, today, the bar opens early in the morning. And they drink morning until the night and the morning until the night and they die. So here it says, they drink in the night. Okay, go ahead, verse 8.
But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation.
Now he says, those people get drunk, and what? They are not sober anymore, but we are what? We are sober. Means we are not drunk. So we should be living a faith life, putting your breastplate of faith and love and helmet of hope and salvation. So he says, now I do not want you to be drinking, but be spiritual and make the spiritual warfare. Okay? Go to the Titus chapter 2 verse 12.
Teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world.
Okay. He says, we should not be living the lustful life. We should live soberly, righteously, and godly. Soberly means what? Not drinking. That's what it is. If you drink, your mind is not sober. Okay. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8.
Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour.
Now see, the first word says, be sober and be vigilant. Do you know vigilant means? Watchful. If you are a watchman and a drunk on the job, what will happen? You are no watchful. The thief will come and rob everything and kill you too. So here says, be sober. If you have sober mind, you can be vigilant. If you are drunk, you are not vigilant. You know what? The drunkard man has two visions. He can see two doors, two cars, two streets, two lights. That's why they bump into something which is not true. So that's what he says, be sober and vigilant. If you're not, then your adversary is the devil, who is roaring lion and walking around to seeking you, devour, mean destroy. Let's go to the Proverbs chapter 23, verse 20 and 21.
Be not among winebibbers, among riotous eaters of flesh.
Okay. Be not among the winebibbers. Do you know what does it mean? He says, do not go to the party where the people are having wine party or liquor party. You should not be among those people. If you go there where the people are drinking and gathering, there is a chance to have fights and riots. Do you know some people go to the ball game and they are drunk? Some people allow them and their party loses and they get fighting and start killing each other. And many people get drunk and start killing each other. And so he says, that's why you should not be among those people. You should not be going to somebody's house who are having a liquor party. And if you're calling yourself born again Christian, somebody say, oh, we went there to preach somebody. You have to be fool to go in that party to preach to somebody who doesn't have the, what you call, right mind. And they are already, their mind is corrupt and they are already half a drunk. And you telling them about Jesus, the word of God says, why do you take your pearls and put it to the swine? So the word of God is a pearl. You cannot give it to the people who are drunk. And so he says, do not do that. Read the following verse.
For the drunkard and the glutton shall come to poverty, and drowsiness shall clothe a man with rags.
Can you imagine? He says, if you keep on drinking and keep on eating, you'll be fat someday, you get a heart attack, you might die, you might spend all your money, you can be poor, and you will have raggedy clothes. Why? Because you're drinking, and you are going one restaurant to another restaurant, and trying to find some food. What are you doing? You are pleasing your flesh. And when you start pleasing your flesh, and drinking and having parties, you will run out of money. Do you know the story about the prodigal son? What did he do? Took all the money from his father and said, I'm going to have a party. And he spent all the money and became beggar and start eating from the pig pan. And then he came to his senses. He said, I'm going to go to my father and I'm going to repent and ask him forgiveness. Okay, let's read verse 29 and to 33, same chapter. Proverbs 23, starting from 29 to 33.
Who hath woe, who hath sorrows, who hath contentions, who hath babbling, who hath wounds without cause, who hath redness of eyes? They that tarry long at the wine, they that go to seek mixed wine. Look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth his color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright.
See here, not only going to party. So he said, if the wine is in the glass, don't even look at that cup. Say, don't look at that, because when you start looking at that, something is going to happen. You get attracted to it. When you go to the buy car, you know what the car dealer will say? Would you like to have a ride on this car? And when you don't like this color, once you say, I like the color, and take the ride, you are hooked onto the car. Then they can raise any price, and you will say, I like it. And you will take it. The same way, when you look at the wine, and you were before you were drinking, and now you give up the drink, and then you go to the party, this is what I was missing. And now this is free. Let me take it. Let's read the words following.
At the last it biteth like a serpent, and stingeth like an adder.
That wine or that liquor will bite you like a serpent. That serpent is like a cobra. And it will be stinging like a adder. So, one day, cobra bit me, so I know what the pain is. Okay, verse 33.
Thine eyes shall behold strange women, and thine heart shall utter perverse things.
When you go to the bar, and the bar there are strange women comes to the bar. They are looking for some man who has the money. They can cheat you and they can rob you. So they come. And then you start looking at another woman. That woman looks better than your wife. And then you say, okay, she's better. And then you say you start looking some strange things. Means your eyes will start looking something which is not good. You don't know what to do, because then you are all got mixed up, and thine heart shall utterly see perverse things. That means which is not good, that comes to your mind. Why? Because now your mind is controlled by devil. So all the bad things will come. Okay? And so the word of, if you have to read the whole psalm, I don't have time. So the word of God says all of these things the drinking habit does. Is it good for you to start little? Yeah, I'm going to do for the dinner time a little bit. And I keep the bottle in the refrigerator. Someday you will have this problem. So it is better to get rid of it. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 10. I'm going to stop here after this verse.
Nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God.
If you're drinking, you will not go to heaven. I didn't know that. The same thing I talked to the man who was smoking. He said, I didn't know that. God can destroy me. Here's the same thing. He's not saying drinking is a bad habit, or you will be poor, or you will have a problem. He says if you have a drinking habit, you will go to hell. Simple as that. Then somebody says, oh, God is not that cruel to send me to hell. He says here, it's recorded. If he says you go to hell, you cannot change it.
True.
Only way you can change it, repent and give up. But all this, see, the covetousness, the thieves and revilers and all these other people, and in the middle of that, the drinking, put it there. And somebody, they don't read that. Oh, yeah, the Bible says drink a little bit. It doesn't say a little bit. It says a drinking person. The person who drinks, or who have drinking habit, or he drinking like that, that person will not inherit the kingdom of God. Means he'll go to hell. And so in short, what the word of God is teaching today, he's saying, be wise, not be fools, and find the way that time is running out. Redeeming the time, wake up from your sleep. Shall we rise? Okay, let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. Lord Jesus, you gave us lots of warning last week and this week. And I did not make up these words. This is all your words from the Bible. I am just giving to your people. And Lord, give us grace to be right with you. Give us grace to find out what is the will of God for us. Lord Jesus, please forgive all my sins. Wash me with your precious blood. Give me grace to live for you. I commit my life into your hands. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Please be seated.